We're going to continue looking into the Proverbs. We've been doing that in the month of August, and this will be our last one, Proverbs 27. I'll tell you which one specifically in a few moments, but we want to see today, again, Proverbs have given us principles for wisdom. So these are principles that we can implement and apply in our lives that God says will make us wise, will give us a skill in living in ways that bring Him honor. So that's what we're after. That's what we want to see happen. So let's pray and just ask God to work in us as we consider His word. Father, again, thank you for your word. We pray that as we look at it, God, that you might encourage us, that you might encourage our hearts to be who you've called us to be. God, would you help us to think well about what your word says? And then would you help us to apply it specifically to our lives? We pray, Father, thanking you for your grace. Would you take a few moments just quietly in your own heart? Don't say anything out loud, but just ask God to speak to your heart today. And then would you take a few moments and just pray for me again, quietly, silently in your hearts, but just pray that God would speak through me, please. Well, again, Father, you are good to us. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you, God, that you have drawn us out of our sin and into relationship with you, that you've adopted us into your family as sons and daughters through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that as we consider this proverb, that you would give us strength, that you would give us the grace to apply it to our lives in order that we might be wise and mature in our faith. So God, help us. We need your help. I need your help. And God, I just ask that you would be honored in this time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In 2005, a documentary came out. It was called Grizzly Man. And I don't know if you've ever seen this documentary. I don't recommend it, by the way, because it's really creepy. But it was out in 2005, and it's the story of a fellow named Timothy Treadwell. And Timothy Treadwell felt like he had a special ability to relate to grizzly bears. Now, if you don't know what a grizzly bear is, go home and Google it. A grizzly bear is a ferocious creature living, in this particular instance, he was up in the Rocky Mountains in Alaska, up in the Canadian Rockies up there. I think he was in Alaska specifically. Grizzly bears are giant animals, and they're potentially incredibly ferocious. And yet every summer, Timothy Treadwell and his girlfriend would travel to Alaska, and they would spend time trying to, and I'm going to use air quotes here, get to know these ferocious grizzly bears. And the documentary is a look. It goes back and it revisits video footage that Timothy Treadwell took of his encounters with these grizzly bears. And there are some instances in the footage where he's able to go right up to an enormous grizzly bear and even touch it and pet it. And again, he felt like he had a special connection with these animals. Well, the documentary also has some interviews with some park rangers and different animal experts who are just amazed that anyone would be this foolish to go in and think that they had some special connection with bears. One park ranger in particular was asked, you know, why did the bears let him get that close to them? And his answer was, it was probably because the bears were so dumbfounded that someone would actually get that close, and they didn't know what to do, so they just sat there. The documentary ends, as you might expect, with the death of Timothy Treadwell. His normal pattern was he and his girlfriend would go for the summer, and at the end of the summer, they would leave. Well, this one particular year, I think it was 2007, the couple decided that they would stay on into the autumn. when the bears become especially anxious because they're trying to gather food for hibernation. And so most experts think that that's the reason why the bears turned on them and essentially ate them. An unbelievable story. The documentary maker, the director, concludes in the documentary that Timothy Treadwell had this kind of sentimental view of nature, while forgetting that nature is unkind, that nature is fierce. And so he underestimated the danger that these animals presented. Now we hear that, and we think, well, duh, right? It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, we hear that someone wants to spend their summers trying to pet grizzly bears in the wild, and we can see it written on the wall. We know how this story is going to end, don't we? It's no mystery to us. We can see the incredible danger that awaits, and we can see the inevitable conclusion to this story. We can see it clearly because it is obvious, isn't it? We hear and recognize how foolish it is to be so close to something so dangerous. And so the outcome isn't surprising. It's not surprising for us to hear that Timothy Treadwell and his girlfriend were eaten by these bears. And yet, how many of us at different points in our lives, how many of us maybe even today are flirting with danger, are flirting with some kind of temptation, are flirting with some kind of lifestyle choice that is in the same way potentially deadly? I can look back at times in my life where I look back and I think, I should have known better. I should have seen that coming. And the path that I was on, I should have understood where that was going to take me. And how many of us have been in that same kind of place where we flirt with some kind of danger? Maybe we decide to fool about with drink or sex or pornography, and we start to get drawn into certain things. We flirt with them. And look, I get it, right? Flirting with the edge, flirting with danger is exhilarating, isn't it? There's something about wanting to test the limits and jump out of an airplane, skydive. It's exhilarating, right? But exhilarating doesn't necessarily mean smart, does it? Something can be exhilarating and yet deadly. Take, for instance, this little guy. Yeah, he's cute, isn't he, right? I mean, what if your child brought home one of these guys, a little baby lion? Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful little animal, right? He's cuddly. You probably wrestle with him on the floor. But are you going to let your kid bring home one of these? No. Why not? Because you know that one day this cute little baby lion is going to grow into a fierce lion that will eat your face, right? You know that. You can see that coming. You can see that coming. Look, in our own lives, it's so easy for us to get on this path towards danger. It's easy for us to get on these paths towards danger with no thought of where they might ultimately take us. With no thought to where it might end. Well, this proverb in chapter 27 is going to give us a principle to live by. It's going to give us essentially a bird's eye view of the difference between the wise and the simple. The wise and the simple. And it's going to call us, yet again, as all of these proverbs had, it's going to call us to pursue wisdom. Now here's the thing. None of us can avoid all trouble in this life, can we? None of us can avoid every trouble or every difficulty in this life. There are some troubles and difficulties that just kind of spring out of the bushes and catch us unaware. We can't see them coming, right? There are some troubles that we just can't see coming. But some trouble is self-inflicted, isn't it? Some trouble we can see coming. And this proverb is going to tell us how the wise see trouble coming. And they get away. They run away. They hide. They do what they have to do to remove themselves from the situation. So, how do we become those kind of people? How do we become the kind of people who are able to see trouble and danger coming and to avoid it in order that we might live? Proverbs chapter 27, take a look at verse 12. We're just going to look at this one proverb today. 27 verse 12. The prudent sees danger and hides himself or herself. But the simple go on and suffer for it. The prudent sees danger and hides himself. But the simple go on and suffer for it. Let me say this again. Trouble finds everyone. There is no one who can escape all trouble or difficulty in this life. But the eyes of the wise, the prudent, have the eyes to see a lot of trouble that's coming and to avoid it. And that's what we want to consider today. As we think about this proverb, who is in view here in this proverb? Well, the author, Solomon, talks about the prudent. The prudent. Who is the prudent? Well, the word that is used for prudent in other parts of the Old Testament is used to mean naked. That's probably not the way it's used here, okay? Although it was probably true that the naked would see danger coming and would flee, right? You would hope. But that's not the way the word's used here. The word is used to mean shrewd. It's used to mean shrewd or wise. When it's used in Proverbs, it's used in Proverbs eight other times, and it's always used in contrast to a fool. All right? So consider Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. A simple man, and that's the word we'll see next in our text, a simple man or woman believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. So the word is used in Proverbs eight times, and it's used synonymously with the idea of wise or shrewd. Prudent is a good translation. We might even say mature. Mature, wise, prudent, shrewd. Now, Hebrew poetry is not characterized by rhyme. When we think about poetry in the English language, we think about rhyming, we think about rhythm. But in Hebrew poetry, it's characterized by what are called parallelisms. And so what you see in Hebrew poetry are typically two lines of text that parallel one another. And one of the ways they parallel one another is to contrast one another. And that's what we see in this particular proverb. So what he's going to do is he's going to draw a contrast between the prudent, the wise, the mature person. And he's going to use that. He's going to, in the first line, ask the question, okay, how does a wise person act when he or she sees trouble coming? And he's going to contrast that to the second line, which is the simple. The simple. Now, the word there, the word that's used for simple in Proverbs generally denotes someone who is young, who is naive, who is immature, who is inexperienced, and because of his immaturity, stumbles into trouble. Right? So if you've ever had a baby or a toddler, you know that it's a great day when the toddler begins to walk, right? And they begin to toddle everywhere. But you also know that at that point, you've got to baby-proof your house, right? Because toddlers are too young and naive and inexperienced to know that they shouldn't go up to the electrical outlet and put something in it. See, they don't know that. And so you plug it up so that you can't do it. That's the word for simple. It's the young, the naive, the inexperienced, or the immature who, because of their immaturity, stumble into trouble, right? So let me give you a few places where we see this idea. Miriam read Proverbs 1, in verses 2 to 4. Solomon says, the reason I'm giving you these proverbs is for the attaining of wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So this idea of simple is the idea of mature. And Solomon says that the Proverbs are useful in helping the simple, the immature, to become mature. The simple to become wise. A little bit later in chapter 1, he says the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Again, remember parallel, Hebrew parallelism. The waywardness of the simple is compared to the complacency of fools. So you can see in Solomon, in the Proverbs, when he uses the word simple, he equates it to fool. So we might think again of prudent as the wise, mature person, and the simple as the immature, the foolish person. The example, I think, above all others in Proverbs is in Proverbs chapter 7. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 7, flip over there. Proverbs chapter 7 begins with these words, and they'll be up on the screen in a few minutes. But it begins with these words: my son, keep my words, treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And he essentially says, stay close to wisdom, because it will keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And then he recounts this story. He recounts the story beginning in verse 6. He says, for at the window of my house, I have looked through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple. There's our word. The simple. Now, who are the simple? In the very next line, he says, I've perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. So who is the simple? The simple is this young man, he says, who lacks sense. Now, ladies, young ladies, you're not exempt, okay? So we might say this young lady who is lacking in sense. And then he proceeds to tell this story about how this young man who is lacking in sense goes out into the street, and there he is drawn in by the seductive words of an adulterous woman. And in verse 21, he says, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. In her smooth talk, she compels him. And then listen to these horrific words. I think I have them up on the screen. These are horrific words. All at once, he follows her. So here's this young man who lacks wisdom, who follows after the seductive call of this adulterous woman. And look at what Solomon says. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. Whoa, how about that? A young man, the simple, a young man, young and naive and inexperienced and immature, who because of his immaturity is drawn into danger. He doesn't see that it's going to kill him. And he enters in until, boom, he's caught in the trap, and he's dead. He's dead. What an incredible, incredible story. He ends chapter 7 with a plea. Don't let that be you. Listen to my words, because it's my words that will make the simple wise. Simple. The word, again, pictures this inexperienced, immature person who, because of his immaturity, stumbles into trouble. Stumbles into trouble. And the proof is in the pudding in the proverb. It's the actions of these two people, the prudent and the simple. It is the actions that we see from them which point to their maturity or immaturity. So consider again Proverbs 27:12. The prudent, he sees danger. He sees trouble coming. And what does he do? He hides himself. He flees. This is how we know that he is wise. Because he sees it coming and he hides himself. He gets away, right? So the mature person is not just able to see it coming, to see danger coming, he's able to hide himself. The wise person, the prudent person, sees danger coming down the path and is able to remove themselves in order to avoid a collision, in order to avoid the trouble. And the sense that we get from the text is that the wise person does whatever is necessary to remove himself from the situation. He does whatever it takes to get out of this potentially dangerous situation that he knows is going to be harmful for him. He hides. He flees. He gets away. He doesn't go looking for trouble. He sees it coming and he doesn't keep going. He hides himself. It reminds me of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount regarding lust in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30, where Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, what does he say to do? Gouge it out. If your right arm causes you to sin, if it helps produce lust in your heart, cut it off. Now, thankfully, Jesus is speaking hyperbolically there, right? Otherwise, we'd have a lot of people, most of us in the room, wouldn't have eyes left. We wouldn't have arms left, right? But his point in that text is that we are to do whatever it takes to avoid lust in the heart. And what this proverb says is that the wise see danger coming and they do whatever it takes to remove themselves from the trouble that is going to meet them. The wise person doesn't flirt with what he knows is going to destroy him. Because he's wise, he's able to see it coming and to remove himself, to get out of the way, to hide himself. He's able to avoid it. Now, contrast that with the simple. So we went and saw the BFG, the Big Friendly Giant. Now, I do recommend that film. Okay, that was a good one. So we went and saw the BFG, and if you're familiar with the story, it's about a giant who comes and takes a little girl, and she goes and lives with him and helps him in some ways, that kind of thing. You can see it. It's a good one. So in one of the scenes in the movie, the little girl, Sophie, is in bed, and it's late at night, and she hears a noise. And she says to herself, and she says it out loud, but nobody else is listening. It's just her. She says, "Don't get out of bed." As she's getting out of bed. Then she says, "Don't go over to the window." As she's walking over to the window. And she says, "Don't open the curtain." As she opens up the curtain. And guess what happens? Well, the giant sees her and he comes in and he snatches her. Now, this is what we see in the simple. The simple don't see the danger. And so what they do is they keep on going. They keep going, they keep on going in this path, and in doing so, bring trouble upon themselves. Now, there's a question here in this particular proverb as to whether it is ignorance or hubris, like pride, that causes the simple to keep going. In other words, the proverb is either telling us that the simple keep going because they can't see that the direction they're going is dangerous. Or it's telling us that the simple can see that it's dangerous, but they don't care. And so in their simplicity, in their immaturity, they just keep going anyway, even though they know that it's dangerous. Those two aren't necessarily all that different. The idea is still that the simple do not avoid trouble, that if they were wise, they would be able to avoid. So whether it's that the simple are unable to see the danger that awaits them, like the little kid who brings home the baby lion, or whether it's that they see it and just intentionally keep walking into it, doesn't really matter. The encouragement of the proverb is to be wise, because in being wise, we're able to see it and avoid it. That is the path of wisdom. So immature people, simple people, can overestimate their strength, right? They say things like, even though they're on the path of danger, they'll say things like, well, I'll convert her. Or they say, I know there's going to be bad stuff at that party, but I'm not going to be involved in it. Or they say things like, well, I just won't get caught up in the illegal activity. I'll just stay above the fray. Or I'll tame the wild grizzly, right, like Timothy Treadwell said. Either way, though, whether the simple see the danger or not, they're not mature enough to realize that the path they're on is leading them somewhere where they really don't want to go. And so in their immaturity, they keep going. And the result is trouble. The proverb says they suffer for it. And the way it's written, they bring it on themselves. It is self-inflicted, because in refusing to grow, in refusing to be wise, they can't see it. And so they suffer for it. And wise people don't do that. The proverb says, well, the wise people see it coming, and they get out of the way. Proverbs 6:27. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without burning his clothes? The wise understand. No. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. The simple don't. They don't. Now, we have a word for this ability to sniff out trouble before it comes upon us. We call it discernment. We call it discernment. So, wisdom, prudence, as it's used here, or maturity, and discernment go hand in hand. It's a two-for-one deal. They're kind of two sides of the same coin. So, the mature person is able to approach situations with discernment. In other words, they're able to sniff out good from evil and right from wrong. And in doing that, they're able to avoid the evil. Again, remember, this is how we defined wisdom a few weeks ago. The ability to see the world, to view the world through God's eyes, in order to see what is most honoring to Him as we seek to live for Him. And then the ability to walk in that. It's discernment that causes the prudent here in this proverb to see the danger ahead and to avoid it. And it's the absence of discernment that causes the simple to miss it and to get in trouble. The wise man understands something about himself. And that is this, that he's not as strong as he thinks he is. So the wise person understands that he needs to lean in to God to help him to discern trouble before it gets him. He realizes that he's not as strong as he thinks he is. This is the source and mark of wisdom, isn't it? In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This idea that I am not as smart as I think I am, and so I need to lean in on God if I'm going to navigate this world in a way that is good and pleasing to Him. The simple think they've all got it all figured out. They're self-reliant. They're self-reliant. The problem with that is that our hearts can deceive us, can't they? We'll consider that a little more in a moment. The boy in Proverbs 7 that we considered, he doesn't have the sense to see that he is walking into trouble. But the point of that chapter is to say that he would have that sense if he would listen to the words of his father. Here's how that proverb begins. Remember, keep my commands and you will live. It's an admonition for him to listen to the words of his father, to listen to the wisdom that his father offers in order that he might live, in order that he might live. The call is repeated in verse 24. He says, listen to me, be attentive to my words. Be attentive to my words. Wisdom and discernment go hand in hand. Well, so how do we apply this? What does this mean for us? Where do we go from here? Well, I mean, the admonition is pretty simple. It is to get wisdom, to get discernment, and then to get out of the way of trouble. To get wisdom, to get discernment. And when we get wisdom and discernment, we're able to see trouble ahead and we're able to hide ourselves, to get out of the way. To get out of the way of trouble that's coming. We get wisdom by leaning into God's word. Consider some texts that connect God's word with wisdom and maturity. Here's just a few. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. Doing what? Making wise the simple. Consider Proverbs or Psalms 119:130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding. We might say wisdom to the simple. It's God's word that makes us wise. It's God's word that makes us mature. In Hebrews chapter 5, he contrasts those who are immature and live on milk to those who are mature, who can handle the solid truths of the word of God. And notice, he says that solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish or to discern good from evil. It is God's word that builds discernment in us, that builds wisdom into our hearts. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is God's word that builds wisdom into our lives. So get into God's word if you want to get wisdom. We cannot be wise and discerning apart from the scriptures. It's his word that makes us wise. But we also need other people. We also need other people because, again, our hearts deceive us. All of us do all kinds of silly things that we convince ourselves are not silly, right? All of us can point to things in our lives that we have done that were not smart, but we convinced ourselves that they were smart. I remember when I was in university, myself and our flatmate, my housemates, we thought that we were going to be real estate tycoons. So we went out and we scraped all the money that we had together to buy some course that some guy did on how to buy all this property and get rich. We were idiots, but we were convinced that we were going to be the next Donald Trumps, right? We were convinced that we were going to be real estate tycoons. And look, I'm not saying that we should never listen to our hearts, okay? God is at work in our hearts, but we should always be willing to temper what our hearts tell us with what we hear from other people. We should always be willing to temper what we hear, what we feel our hearts telling us, with what we hear from people who are following Jesus and who love us, because our hearts deceive us. Our hearts aren't infallible. So listen, if you're on a path today and you're convinced it's the right path, but people around you that love you and that love the Lord Jesus are telling you, hey, look, maybe this isn't the right thing for you to do, You should really, really pay attention. You should really listen. This is how we get wise. It's through other people. So consider a few Proverbs. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. The process of iron sharpening iron is not without pain and difficulty. Sparks fly and it's messy. But the product is good. The product is good. Consider Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. You ever had somebody tell you, hey man, what you're doing isn't right? If that person's a friend, you value that insight, don't you? Even though you don't want to hear it, you value it. Because the wounds of a friend can be trusted. Or Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart accept commands. We might say, those who are wise are willing to listen to instruction, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Those who won't listen to instruction come to ruin. Or Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Listen, this is a fact of life. You become like those that you hang out with. I don't care how old you are. You become like those you hang out with. So if you want to be wise, hang out with people who are wise. If you want to be a fool, hang out with fools. See, how does God build wisdom into our lives? He builds it through his word, and he builds it through other people. Again, Proverbs 1:2-7. The wise are able to listen to instruction and to heed it as they seek to grow. Incidentally, you know, in our culture today, we value youth, don't we? We value what is young and what is new, even to the point where we push aside those who are older because they don't, what do they know? Right? They don't know anything. They're old. They're washed up. They're about ready to leave us. What do they know? And so in our culture, we prize youth. Do you know that in the Proverbs, youth is a synonym for fool? See, we've got it a little bit backwards. So if you want to get wise, listen to God's word. Listen to those around you. Man, I could write a book about the things that I wished I would have listened to someone who told me what to do, what not to do. I would entitle it something like "Learning the Hard Way Really Is Hard," right? Maybe you could write that same book. Listen, if you're young, if you're a youth here today, I know you think that your parents don't know anything. Listen to your parents because they have been where you are going and they can see danger that you can't see. They are wise, even if you don't think they are. They are wise. But it's not just hearing others, is it? It's one thing for the wise to see the danger, but the wise also are able to get out of the way. So you get wisdom, you get discernment, and then you get out of the way. You hide from the danger that you see coming. The wise person does whatever it takes to get out of the way of the trouble that she sees coming. Paul says it incredibly well in 2 Timothy 2. Flee! Flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness. Flee! Get out of the way. This is what the wise do. Whatever it takes to remove themselves from this situation. Whatever it takes. Because they know that the stakes are high. They know that the stakes are high. So they flee. Well, again, we can't avoid all trouble in this life. We just can't. But if we're wise, Solomon says that we can see some trouble coming down the road. And if we're wise, we can see it, and we will remove ourselves. We will hide. We will flee. And in doing that, we won't suffer harm. The simple don't even think about it. They just keep on going, and they bring trouble after trouble on themselves. But the wise see it, and they get out of the way. So get wisdom, get discernment, and then get out of the way. Get in God's word, listen to those around you, and then get out of the way. Maybe you're here today and you're close to the edge. You're flirting with something that is dangerous. And maybe people have told you that it's dangerous. I don't know. Maybe they haven't. Maybe you've seen that you think it's probably dangerous, but you're still going that way. You're trying to pet a wild grizzly bear and think that it won't end badly. Listen, you need to get wise. You need to get wise. And then get out of the way. Marion Jones, maybe you've heard of Marion Jones. She was at one time widely regarded as the best female athlete in all of the world. In the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, she was the first female to win 5 medals. She won gold in the 100 meter, the 4x400, the 200. She won bronze in the long jump and in the 4x100 relay. An absolutely incredible athlete. She was also an excellent basketball player, just an incredible athlete, probably the finest female athlete in all of the world. 2003 rolls around, and she begins to be investigated for using steroids. And as she sits with a federal prosecutor, a U.S. federal prosecutor, she tells him on the record that she has never used performance-enhancing substances. She lies. She lies. And she hopes that her lie will not be discovered. Even against the counsel of her solicitor, she lies to the prosecutor, which is a criminal offense, and she hopes that her lie will not be discovered. Well, the investigation continues. She had surrounded herself with some shady characters. She had surrounded herself with men that were known for supplying performance-enhancing drugs to athletes. And so the investigation continued. And then, in 2006, she tested positive for a banned substance. And everything came crashing down. And there's this incredible video of her standing on the courthouse steps after she's been sentenced to 6 years in prison and stripped of all of her medals and honors. There's this incredible video of her standing on the courthouse steps in tears, confessing that she had lied for all of these years and now was having to face the consequence. In 2008, she entered prison for 6 months. And now in this documentary that I watched about this, about her life, there's this incredible statement. It is a statement that has stuck with me. Again, she was a sprinter, right? And the documentary, the presenter on the documentary said, decisions are sprints. Decisions happen instantaneously in our lives. Decisions are sprints, but the consequences are marathons. The consequences are marathons. And listen, I want so much for us to avoid the foolish decisions that will end up hurting us. And that's what Proverbs wants too. And Proverbs says, listen, if you will pursue wisdom, if you will pursue wisdom, you can see danger coming and you can avoid the troubles. Because decisions are sprints. They happen just like that. But the consequences can last for a lifetime. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, as we pray today, we humbly understand at some level, at least, that we are not God, that we are imperfect, and that in some way we can't be trusted. We know, God, that we are tainted and impacted by sin. We know, God, that at some level, to some degree, our hearts long to be our own boss. Our hearts long to sin. And God, we know that we need your word. We need your spirit working through your word to change us, We need to be wise. We need to be mature. And Father, we know that as we look at this proverb, that if we are mature, if we are wise, that we can avoid so much of the trouble that we see in this life. That God, you can protect us from some trouble as you make us wise. So God, we pray that you would do that. We pray that we would get into your word, that you would use your word to make us wise, to make us mature, in order that we might discern what is good, what is pleasing, and what is right, and that we might pursue it. Help us, God, to avoid the consequences of foolish living. We know, God, that we could go around the room and we could hear stories from people who wish that they could have do-overs in their lives regarding times when either they didn't see danger coming, others did, but they didn't, or when they saw it and just kept on going and suffered the consequences for it. God, protect us from that by making us wise, we pray.